Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Hi, Hannah.
Go. Hi, Victoria.
Go.
Feliz Navidad.
What, you didn't? Oh.
Feliz Navidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. For anyone who's listening in the future, it's the 20th of December. And we're feeling festive.
Ooh.
Are we?
Who's listening in the future? Oh, like you've come back and listened to our archive.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be listening in the future, because this doesn't come out until the future.
I'm thinking of some AI bot, you know, since we're on the theme.
Ooh. Topical.
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 How are you?
I'm wonderful, you know, still working. Not sure why. 5 days before Christmas.
Sorry to hear that.
And yeah, just eating lots, drinking lots, and feeling generally, yeah, festive and friended up. It's been a lot of festive social occasions. And
yeah.
Yeah, I could hibernate for a little while.
Happens. Yeah. You should.
I will.
What's your thoughts on Irish coffee this time of year? Or as you just call it, coffee, I guess.
I really regret, it's come to mind many times in our last episode when we were talking about Christmas, and I was saying that it can be hard for some people, and the first thing I said to comfort yourself was, make that coffee Irish. And I regret that on so many levels, I can't tell you. Firstly, you know, we don't all have to resort to alcohol to help us out, and also just like reinforcing my Irish stereotype. But what is my thought on Irish coffee? I've never been like a massive fan, but lately I've come around to it. Yeah, it's okay. It's the, I don't know, sometimes it can, the cream can be a bit like a lot. But when we were in Dublin recently, we got one because, and it turned out we were in the like home of the Irish coffee pub in Dublin.
Oh.
And fucking, they charged us like, I think it was like €12 or something for this Irish coffee. It was insanely expensive.
Is it just like Kenko and then like a load of booze?
I think they maybe put a double shot of whiskey because it was quite strong. And then, no, they did brew the coffee, so that's fair. And then, yeah, they put the cream on top or whatever. But, yeah, it can be good, but I think in the wrong hands, it could be very, very bad. Mm. Are you? Have you ever sampled? It's not your thing.
No, not my thing. I mean, I love coffee. I don't really like whiskey. Yeah,
or cream, right?
I think, yeah, and cream, yeah. Although did I send it to you? Maybe I didn't send it to you. We saw some tweets the other day about someone who'd moved from, I think, the UK to Ireland, and they were talking about how much better the dairy is there.
Well, that's true.
Like how just like better quality the cream and butter and milk and everything is.
Yeah.
More expensive but better, and I was like, gotta go and get me some of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one benefit to this very rural wet country. That rural wet country, not this one.
There's no benefits to this rural wet country.
Very few.
Literally nothing.
Oh, that's nice. I like to hear nice things about when people move to Ireland and have a nice time.
And butter, right?
Well, Kerrygold.
You like to hear nice things about butter.
Kerrygold and Kerrygold only. We saw Kerrygold in Barbados. Did I tell you that?
I mean, it bangs.
There's like a silver wrapper version, that which I think is like the exported one that they sell in like, in further afield countries. But yeah, anyway. We digress. How are you?
I'm good. I've had no booze this Christmas season.
Yeah, but you're a much better person than me on the booze front in general.
I'm also ill. I've been ill. I've had COVID, lads. And it's like the bad kind, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's really knocked me out. life update. Hannah and I no longer work together. I've left my job at the place we used to work. Ooh. And what's happened is I left my job and then my body is just like switched off.
Yeah.
And my immune system's just been like, wah, wah, wah. And I've just been ill for like the 3 weeks since my last day. So that's not been as fun as I'd hoped, but never mind. I'm coming out of it just in time for Christmas. And today, which is Marcus, my son's second birthday. So those of you who've listened to us for a while, you'll obviously remember us having Marcus.
I'd love to take some credit, but I really had nothing to do with it. No child that cute could have ever had anything to do with me.
Oh, that's not true. He is really cute. So, yes. But otherwise, I'm fine. I'm looking forward to, you know, doing Christmas, eating.
What? Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to the supermarket in the past few days, but because it's the week before Christmas, all of your, like, standard Christmas dinner things are, like, 19p a bag.
Yes! What the hell? So as part of this podcast exercise, I got a very popular vegetable. And, yeah, what the hell? Well, on the, like, Nectar price, so if you're a member...
Popular in the UK or popular in Ireland?
Both. And yeah, it was 19p for this veg. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. Insane. Why is it not?
Yesterday I bought a big thing of Brussels sprouts because I like Brussels sprouts. And I think they're underrated because people don't cook them right. 19p.
Insane. Should always be like this. Why isn't it always like this?
I know.
So a couple of things. A couple of housekeeping bits to get out of the way.
Housekeeping. Yeah.
We're not editing this episode because it's the day before it comes out. And that's not usually when we like to record, but it's for the aforementioned reasons of life being nuts and Vic being sick and mostly
sickness, yeah.
chaos that surrounds our both of our lives. We're gonna go raw and uncut. That's how you like your Christmas turkey, isn't it?
Oh. I'm glad you said Christmas turkey. yes, we are raw and uncut. It's yeah, but it's fine. It's fine.
Oh, we're pros yes, by
we've
now.
Had, we've had. It's December, and it's so unless something really dramatic happens, in which case you'll hear like a stop, and then it'll start again, because we've just haphazardly edited some kind of terrible bit out. But we're channeling our Greg James, our inner Greg Jameses.
Are we?
as I always am. But just because he's good at live, talking live and, yes. Being raw and unedited.
We love Greg James. I would like Greg James for Christmas.
We do.
The second piece of housekeeping is that we asked you guys for your thoughts for a pre-Christmas episode, because we did Gingerbread the last one, so we wanted to do, and we know we're like 5 days out from Christmas, so we just wanted to do a kind of bonus silly one, and there were some great ideas, a lot of them quite seasonal.
There was
like Christmas recipes and stuff like that,
yeah,
cookbooks of favorite cookbooks of the year, things like.
Do you have a favorite cookbook of the year? Or should we not talk about that in case we do it something else?
No, I don't think we will we? But, like, I don't know. It's hard to know because we haven't done loads of, like, current ones this year. Well, I guess we have. Maybe.
Bree Graham. I feel like that stands up and out for me.
Stand up, stand out, stand in to my kitchen.
I feel like I've come back to it a million times and it's great.
Yes. I loaned it to someone at work who didn't appreciate it as much as I thought. And I went to their desk when they weren't there and grabbed it back, seized it back after a week.
Nice.
Because I was like, you're not appreciating this. You haven't even probably opened it. So I took it back. But yeah, I think I'd be with you on that one.
And that's why I've left my job, everyone.
These people.
Because they don't appreciate good cookbooks when they see them.
But one of the ideas that we really liked was, and we've thought about this before as well, right? Like playing around with like AI and ChatGPT and things like that when it comes to recipes, because it's a bit, well, it's topical, but it's also, quite frankly, terrifying.
It's terrifying and fun at the same time. Like all good things.
Yes. If it doesn't scare you, then is it even worth doing? What is that shit? Like some kind of...
Feel the fear and do it anyway. ChatGPT.
Some LinkedIn crap right there. And do you use ChatGPT in any other areas of your life, Vic, outside of food?
Well, I'm looking for a job. And
I knew this
as we know,
I totally set you up.
I'm looking for a job, and it does is a good aid for cover letters and for picking out like key things in a job description that you should put in your cover letter.
Yeah.
I don't use it entirely for writing cover letters because it's very like Americanized. I found.
That's true.
But it is good for that, and I haven't used it yet. But a lot of people say it's good for like interview prep.
Oh,
like putting the job description and then like saying, "Oh, come up with some questions for this job."
Oh, that's interesting.
Which actually is a good idea.
Interestingly, on the subject of interviews, and absolutely nothing to do with food, but that hasn't stopped us before. My best friend Louise, who you know as well, interviews a lot as part of her job, and her favourite interview question is to ask people their dream job.
Oh.
Isn't that... I don't know what I would say because it would never be related to the job that I'm applying for. It would be like to own like a cookbook shop with you and like, bake every day and, I don't know, a pet-friendly cookbook bakery shop.
Yeah.
Which I don't think.
That's weird. I asked a question in a job interview recently that I didn't get the job. But when they called me to tell me that I didn't get the job, they told me that that question was so good and brave that I asked that they were going to use it in like an interview they had coming up for like a non-exec position. And the CEO told me that we haven't given you the job, but I really like that question, so I'm going
to
steal it.
Oh my God. Are you at liberty to share what the question was?
No. No, it was, it's just like at the end of the, and obviously, you know, your mileage may vary with this, but, and I've done it a couple of times, I don't do it every one, but it's just asking if there's anything that has come up during the interview process that the panel are still kind of worried about or want clarity about based on my experience or anything I've talked about, so that I
can clear
they
up.
Have the opportunity to ask more and I have the opportunity to speak to it.
Well done.
Because I just think it gives everybody a really good idea of like where you're at.
Yes. You're a brave little soldier. That's good. It can be a scary one to ask, right? Because what if it was like something that you didn't want to talk about again, or it was like a question that you like skimmed over because you weren't sure.
Yeah. And that's what happens. And I think frankly in that interview, I think that's ultimately what came up was issues with something, not issues, but like
your criminal past,
concerns about my experience in what. Yeah.
We don't like to talk about it.
My, you know, illegally imported Irish dairy business that I went to prison for.
We don't touch on it much, but Vic's done time.
Done time. I'm not just talking about the job I just left. No.
Yes, ChatGPT is great for job stuff.
Yes, job stuff. But otherwise, not really. Like, I do, like, I like to play around with it. Have you used it much?
Just for, cover letters to get me going, because, not cover letters get me going, quite the opposite, actually. Cover letters absolutely kill my soul. So to get me started on cover letters, I'll like prompt ChatGPT. But I think that's, the prompts are an art unto themselves, right? And I think anyone who works in it, or like the brief exposure I've had to anyone who kind of works with AI or like interacts or tries to leverage it as part of work, like getting that kind of prompt system right is it takes some time and takes some like understanding of the tool and how it works. And I think I've realized that with this episode as well, when I was just trying to like mess around with it and see what it could do. I did ask, you know, as a little opener to ChatGPT, to see what, you know, what it could do, I did
warm it up.
Yeah, just
get it going.
Buy a little drink and sit it down by the fire. I asked it to write me a Christmas poem in the style of Nigella.
Oh, love that! Let's hear
it. It's very long, so I won't.
Can you read it in the style of Nigella, please?
So it slightly struggled with this. It wrote it kind of about Nigella. So it was like,
fun.
The second verse is a sprinkle of sugar, a dash of delight. In Nigella's world, the season takes flight. Velvet darkness, stars in the sky. A culinary symphony. Oh, how time does fly. It was my favorite verse, though, has to be, a couple down. It's lengthy. Nigella, the enchantress. Oh my God, I can't speak. Nigella, the enchantress in the kitchen's embrace, whispers secrets of grace, a festive embrace. Her words dance like tinsel, so elegant and light, guiding us through this merry Christmas night.
Oh, wow.
It's
enchantress.
I can't say the word. Enchantress.
Enchantress. Is that a word?
I think so. Nigella would know.
That is, I mean, well done for doing that.
I was struggling.
On Nigella, she's got a new Christmas thing out. I don't know if it's been played yet. There's something about like Amsterdam Christmas or something. But have you seen Nigel Slater's little viral moment he's had this week.
Is that about a suggestive photo on Instagram?
Yeah. Of a quince tart. Is it quince? Peach? No, it can't be peach this time of year. He's put a picture of some... What is it?
I've just opened it up because my sister sent it to the group chat. I'm off Instagram at the moment and I miss all these fun things. But yes, it was a quince custard tart and it's absolutely so suggestive.
Yeah. Go and look it up, everyone.
And the comments are great. Someone wrote something nice, I think, being like, Nige, I'm going to put it down to your being a sweet gay man that you've no idea what you've posted. Merry Christmas. Mm. And then someone...
He's not a child.
I know, like... But that did get 5,163 likes. And then someone else has written... Oh my God. I can't speak today. Sorry, lads. Someone else has written, nice vulva-y texture.
Oh, I don't like that.
I'm sorry. The comments are... Jamie Oliver's even weighed in. All he's written is, ha 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 ha, Merry Christmas. Vic's just giving me a look.
Oh, he's just everywhere this time of year, isn't he? Old James.
Yeah,
James.
I did also...
He's James.
I asked... I was trying to... I thought like ChatGPT was like a fun experiment in like playing around with like the chefs with the most distinctive voices and like seeing how they would spit something back. And I asked ChatGPT what Molly Baz would call turkey. And they suggested that something that might reflect her energetic and vibrant style. She could potentially give it a fun and catchy name like Gobblicious Roast Bird. Or Citrus Crazed Feathered Feast.
Hopefully it wouldn't be feathered. I love Gobblicious Roast Bird.
I can't wait for my Gobblicious Roast Bird on Christmas.
It'd be Gobblicious Roasty Bee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would be more like a turkizzle or something, or like.
Turkey Twizzler. RIP. Thanks, Jamie, for nothing. Sorry, that's very, very niche banter there for everybody who didn't grow up at a very certain time in this country.
Very niche. Oh, I also asked.
Please don't take. My turkey twizzlers away.
It looks like I also asked it, I mean, about 2 weeks ago, to write me a Christmas poem in the style of Nigel Slater. Wow, I was really having fun. I forgot that it stores stuff. But that...
Yeah, I think that's really useful. I asked it 2 months ago. 2 months ago? A month ago. What the 10 best cookbooks of all time.
AKA season one of the cookbook circle.
Yeah, and they're all... Nope, they're not. So here's what we got. Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Tick. Done it. Joy of Cooking. Tick. I also asked it after this, what's the best-selling cookbook of all time? And the Joy of Cooking was the answer. Okay. Essentials of Italian Cooking, by Marcella Hazan.
Yep.
Marcella?
We knew at the time.
Marcella.
I think it was Marcella.
We did. How to Cook Everything by Mark Bittman. I know that's on the wider list that we did, but On Food and Cooking by Harold McGee. Yeah. The Silver Spoon by Fiden Press. The Essentials of French Cooking by James Peterson.
Oh, we don't have any of these.
Thai Food by David Thompson. Done it. Morrow.
Oh, yeah.
And Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
So yeah, we did quite
well. Yeah, we did all right. I mean, we'll just ChatGPT now anyway.
No, then it does say, remember, the best cookbook for you may depend on your personal cooking interests, skill level, and the types of cuisine you prefer.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, chat.
So, what did you... So we decided to take a recipe each, or to give it a prompt for a recipe each, not tell each other what, as usual, not tell each other what the recipe was, and then discuss. So
discuss.
Do you want to share what your recipe was?
Yeah. Shall I talk you through my process?
Please talk me through your creative process. I'm fascinated.
So, I thought it would be best to start with an ingredient, because I was like, the world is my oyster here, right? I can't just ask for. And I guess oysters? We also should say that.
Give me a recipe.
No,
for
I
oysters.
Wish. Eat them. Yeah. Shock them and eat them. Tattoo that on me. Yes. So, we also should say that we try to do some. We could try to put a Christmassy slant on it, didn't we? A little bit.
Love a Christmassy slant.
And we
except
do
for my Christmas tree.
Christmassy slant.
I like that's
our band name of the week. So I had some fresh cranberries because I saw them in the shop, and I really like cranberries. I never really know what to do with them, but I just like them, and they're very Christmassy, as you all
Two
know.
Questions. Do you like the Cranberries, the band?
Yes, as much as anybody can. I mean,
some people can, more than others.
Are they zombie? Yes. Okay, yes,
also
I do like
Linger.
Them. Let me tell you...
Do you know Linger?
Hmm?
Do you know Linger, the song Linger? But
maybe.
Linger. I just have no brain left.
Linger looking good.
I was going to sing it for you, and now I'm not. But anyone who doesn't know the song Linger, off you pop and listen to it after this episode. It's great. Okay.
There is absolutely going to be a throwback joke to this in about 2 minutes when I get to my what I cooked. But here's a fun anecdote about me and the song Zombie.
Yeah.
My very good friend Carly, who I lived in Japan with, Carly. Is that an iCarly joke
an
there?
Carly joke. Well,
yep. Nice, I love that. Her karaoke song, or one of her karaoke songs, is Zombie by the Cranberries.
Yes.
And I have been to karaoke with her more than I've been to karaoke with anybody. And she would sing this song, and I only knew this song from Carly singing it. I'd never heard it in real life. I'd only heard Carly singing it. And then now I have heard it outside of this. But I frankly thought it was this like weird niche song that she knew. And because it's just a bit shouty.
It is.
It's quite a good quite a good karaoke screamer. But it turns out it's actually popular song and great song.
It's fantastic. We've had so many conversations in life and on the podcast. I now no longer remember what was on the podcast and what was in life, but I remember going to a hen a couple of years ago where we did karaoke on the Saturday night, my friend Dominique's hen, and I was basically made to perform, being Irish, to perform Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor and Zombie.
Oh,
and I just had to stand in the corner and perform them for people like a little...
Did you have to do that whilst doing an Irish dance?
No,
or...
everyone knows I can't do an Irish dance.
You are Michael Flatley in... Flatley?
Flatley.
Michael Flatley in across the karaoke room.
My question number two about your cranberries is, can you eat cranberries raw?
Yes.
Yeah.
Surely.
I don't know. Are they like a... I don't know. Some berries really need...
Imagine they'd be incredibly, like, tart.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're the best when they're raw. I don't know.
No.
Anyway.
I feel like you need to cook them. Anyway, so... that's the COVID. So, I knew I wanted to use these fresh cranberries. I didn't know what I wanted to make. So I started just asking, like, what should I bake with fresh cranberries? And then it suggested, how about trying a cranberry orange muffin? like no recipe, just like,
yeah,
here's an idea. Yeah. And then I just replied, can I have a more innovative recipe?
Wow.
And it suggested cranberry brie pull apart bread, and I just replied to it, I don't like cheese.
Oh, so you were having like a full back and forth.
Oh yeah, me and old chat G were good. Okay, so then we really got into it. So then they offered me like a biscotti thing. Okay. Good. Yeah. And then I was like, have you got anything else? Maybe in the style of Claire Saffitz.
Oh, interesting.
So this is what I did. I was like, oh, what about Claire Saffitz? And then I thought I was done here, because this is a great recipe suggestion. A cranberry almond tart with a twist.
Ooh.
So it suggests this, like an almond crust tart with almond frangipane and then cranberries on top, like baked.
Ooh, nice.
Like you throw it all in the oven. And then so I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Can you give me the detailed recipe? So I got the detailed recipe and then I was like, actually, I can't afford this many almonds, I'll be honest. So I was like, oh, that's great. And then I asked it, how about a recipe using fresh cranberries in the style of Alison Roman?
Interesting.
I was like, let's pit these two behemoths against each other. And this is the one I ended up going for, and this is what I made, right? So okay. It suggested trying cranberry pistachio Linzer cookies.
Ooh, nice.
Or as we're going to call them, Linger cookies. Cranberry. The cranberries pistachio Linger cookies, inspired by Alison Roman's style. So we don't use the word Linzer for these type of cookies or biscuits here, right? Like we'd say, just say it's like a sandwich cookie. It's like a jammy dodger.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like two biscuits and then in the middle you've got some kind of jam sweet thing. And it says, here's a simplified version of the recipe, which I thought that was an interesting thing to say, because it seems like a fine recipe. So
don't mansplain to me, ChatGPT. I've got
I'm fine. I'm very, very talented chef. Okay, so for the cookie dough, it's a cup of unsalted butter softened, half a cup of granulated sugar, a teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2 cups of all-purpose flour.
Shower me in flour.
All-purpose shower. half a cup of ground pistachios and half a teaspoon of salt.
Right.
So I think it's like a kind of like a shortbready
dough.
That's how it feels, like quite crumbly. So you beat together the sugar and the butter, add the vanilla extract, make that light and fluffy, and then you just add the flour, pistachios and salt, mix until just combined.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets funny, right? So it says, divide the dough in half, shape each half into a disc, wrap in plastic and chill in the refrigerator for at least 30 minutes, right? Never once does it say what to do with the two halves. There's no reason to split it in half. I understand why it's asking me to do that, because you're gonna like cut a hole in half of them, right? Because you're gonna sandwich the biscuits.
Right.
But it never comes back to that at any point, which I think is quite funny. So it's not perfect. So you've done that. You've made your cookie dough. Very simple, nice and easy. It's also quite a big recipe, because obviously you're making two biscuits for each cookie.
Yeah.
And then for the cranberry filling, it's like, it's a cup of cranberries, half a cup of granulated sugar, a zest of an orange, and a quarter of a cup of water. And you just put that over a medium heat all together until the cranberries burst and the mixture thickens, about 10 to 15 minutes. And you kind of just let that cool. So it's essentially just like a little jam.
Yeah.
That smelled amazing, though. Made my house smell so Christmassy. Wow. And then, so, this is when disaster struck in my house. And Hannah knows about this, because I was like halfway through making these and I got a call from Marcus's nursery to say that he'd thrown up three times.
Three times? I don't think I knew.
We needed to come and get him.
Thrice.
Oh, it was three times.
Thrice for throwing up.
poor Alice at his nursery because it was all over her trousers. Oh, every time.
Is Alice an employee or a fellow child?
An employee.
Oh my God. I threw up in school over my classmate's history book.
Oh.
When I was like 8. Oh. Don't think we bought him a new one either. We probably should have done that, shouldn't we?
Was it like a not like a textbook?
Yeah, a textbook, yeah.
Oh, not like the exercise book, but he's lost all his work. All his GCSE history coursework.
Well, this is me. I was 8, so the GCSE equivalent was a while away. But I do issue a formal apology, Mark Collins, for not buying your new book.
Where is he now?
Don't know.
Telling this story on his podcast somewhere, probably. His history podcast.
Okay, so he'd thrown out price. Alice's trousers are ruined. Your cranberries are
the cranberries are done, and everything's chilling in the fridge. Okay. And it was going to be for 30 minutes, but it turned out to be about 16 hours because illness has plagued my house. Anyway, but it's fine. So I did them later on, but I definitely chilled them for too long. The dough was unrolloutable.
Oh.
Had to warm them up a bit, like in my hands, to get them out. But essentially, you kind of roll them out and then cut with whatever cut you're using. You cut out, like, it says circles here. And I think this is where you should have the two halves, but I was doing it as per the ChatGPT recipe. So you've got one half, like, whole round cookies, yeah, and the other half, you need to cut, like, a hole in them.
Yeah.
Because, so the jam, like, shines through. Yeah. So I have a little star cutter and cut stars out of them. And then you bake them for 10 to 12 minutes or until the edges are lightly golden. Leave them to cool and then assemble. So you get a whole round
jam.
Slather on the jam and then sandwich the one on top.
Yeah.
And that's it. Leave, you know, eat them. And they were very crumbly. The dough was quite crumbly. Okay. I mean, it held its own, mostly.
Yeah.
You know, if you press too hard on the top one, it was over. It was a broken cookie.
That's a metaphor for life, isn't it? If anyone presses too hard on me, this is prompting Vic to choke and cough off on mute. But yeah, I think we shouldn't press too hard on anyone's top, lest they crumble.
No, you shouldn't press too hard on anyone's anything, frankly. Unless that's what they want and you've gained that consent. consent to press hard on your top. So, yeah, but the taste was lovely. Oh. I loved that cranberry jam. Still got a load left.
Was it quite tart? Was there enough sugar to...
Yes, but because there's... tart in exactly the way that you want it, like against like the pistachio kind of flavor, and I liked all the flavors. I just think it could have been a better cookie.
Yeah.
Maybe
if you hadn't pressed so hard on it would be a better cookie, Vic.
Yeah. Well, that's a metaphor for parenting, isn't it?
That's my LinkedIn post.
but yeah, I liked them. Whether they were Alice and Romany, I'm not sure.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you want to hear that voice coming through, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah. Something I guess what's Alice and Romany about them is they're not super sweet, right? They've got that pistachio, which is can be savoury.
Yeah.
They've got cranberries, which are like... tart, the orange really came through. It's nice, but it's what I thought was interesting, just going back to the Claire Saffitz one, was that, and I was going to text you about this, but I was like, I'll leave it for the pod, is that it had this almond crust, like I said, but it said to just throw everything in the oven together. So you didn't pre-bake the blind bake the crust. And I was like, you probably should do that though, shouldn't you? For
was it a frangipan? A tart.
Yeah, well, frangipan was going on top.
Oh, on top. Yeah, so next to the base. I used to do that in the cafe. Yeah. I would not pre-bake the crust with a frangipan.
You, ChatGPT, all the lads.
But I think sometimes I did have a soggy bottom, so I think you have to make sure that you're like on a really hot baking sheet or something so that it does get that crispy base.
That little crispy butt.
As,
but all in all, I was impressed.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
By the chat GPT. I did go. asked him a bit more about Christmas ideas.
Did you ask him where babies come from?
Oh, and then another one they gave me in the style of Alison Roman was cranberry orange galette with a spiced almond crust.
I could see that from Alison.
And I thought
Roman.
That sounds really nice.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Brave of you.
Alison Roman is known for her creative and flavourful recipes.
It just sound the preamble bit always sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it? Like a bit iRobot-y.
Yes.
Yeah, like speak like a normal person.
Yeah.
They sound like it's been like lobotomised. as I talk to Vic here, the sun has started, the rarely seen sun has started shining in the window and making me look like I'm on like witness protection.
Like even one of those shows where you're talking out crime, against some kind of celebrity.
Or a crime watch or something. interesting. Yeah. I mean, you can imagine.
Yeah.
You can imagine. Where's this going to go?
You can imagine.
Yeah, we can imagine all the recipes.
Do you want to tell us what you
cooked? No, I'm all right. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Bye. Love you. Happy Christmas.
I guess I went on a similar journey to you. I started by kind of asking, one of the ones I asked for...
Well, after you got your poems out the way, obviously.
I just wanted to see what it could do. I wanted the occasional filthy limerick. I said, write me a recipe in the style of Nigel Slater was my first one. Give me like a roasted vegetable and feta tart, which actually sounded quite nice. But it didn't do his, like, yeah, it's quite American. It calls courgette zucchini. It does cups rather than grams a lot of the time. It didn't do his, like, iconic ingredient first and then, quantity of after, which we know from him. And it was a bit uninspiring. And that's when I asked it to write me a poem instead in the style of Nigel Slater. I thought it would be interesting to kind of give it... I tried like a vegetarian Christmas main course. So I asked it to write me one in the style of Nigella. I didn't have like the chain of conversation that you do, so I think that's quite interesting. I think I just every time kind of like optimized my prompt. But this Nigella Lawson inspired.
Well, I'll optimise your prompt.
Please. It said for a Nigella Lawson inspired vegetarian Christmas main course, conjure a feast of comfort and flavour. And then it tells you just to roast some vegetables, toss them in a cauldron of olive oil.
A cauldron?
Yeah, a cauldron of aromatic olive oil, garlic, and a pinch of smoked paprika for a sultry twist. And then it says...
A sultry twist on roasted vegetables.
Roasted vegetables have never been so sultry. embrace the sensuous side of the season with a velvety mushroom and chestnut stuffing, generously laced with fresh herbs. Well, I mean, I don't know if embracing the sensuous side of the season is with stuffing, but I mean, maybe it is.
And also cauldron and laced. Nigella Lawson's not a witch. Like...
Oh my god, it's such witchy language. But then I thought what might be funny is to ask it to make something quite simple from someone who can't do things very simply. And so I asked for a detailed recipe for Christmas Brussels sprouts in the style of Thomas Keller from The French Laundry.
Oh, so, Oh, that isn't where I thought that was going.
Where did you think it was going?
I thought it was going to Ottolenghi.
No, I thought someone in the prompt of when we asked for ideas for the recipes, she said something like the best recipes of the year and I wasn't allowed to talk about Ottolenghi. So you've made me now. Just for that listener, so you know that Vic prompted me to mention his name, but I wasn't going to mention his name for this whole episode and my New Year's resolution.
Thomas Keller.
Yes.
Wow.
And then?
Ooh la la, as they say.
Well, interesting you should French say laundry. That when the, when you click, because I did this on my phone in just like Safari, the tab is called French Sprouts Elegance.
Oh.
So yeah, I just...
Band name of the week.
I thought this was funny. So it basically produced this recipe called Brussels sprouts with hazelnut brown butter. And I was like, interesting. Like you, we were talking about... This is why it's interesting. We both bought Brussels sprouts for 19p the other day. But I love sprouts and I agree that they're often not cooked very well or like overcooked.
Like turkey. I like turkey, but it's always cooked badly. If you get turkey cooked well, that's why people don't like it, because it's cooked badly. Oh. That was a bad sentence, sorry, but you know what I'm saying.
When you say badly, do you mean like dry? People cook it too dry?
Yes.
Do you have any tips for dry turkey?
A wet turkey, wet it. You can brine it.
Oh yeah,
you can dry brine it. You probably don't need to cook it for as long as you
think
you do. Also, you don't need to cook the whole bird together.
Oh, true.
If you don't want to, like, you cut the legs off. You know, do it all in bits, because then you're only cooking everything for as long as it needs to be cooked for, and you're not just waiting for that middle breast bit to be done. Yeah. Nobody needs, you know, that big, shiny brown turkey in the middle of the table when it tastes like shit. Yeah. Just, anyway,
or
that's
just
what I think.
Do a turkey crown, right? Like, a lot of people just do that.
Do a turkey crown. Also, we have sous vide'd a turkey crown before. Oh. And it turns out great because it stays moist, and that's a really good way of, like, if you're just, you just want to do that, and also it's good for, like, makes good sandwich meat.
Oh yeah,
when you like sous vide, it just gets that nice. Anyway.
Ooh, yeah. Fancy. That's like Thomas Keller. He would probably sous vide a turkey crown.
He probably would.
Anyway, so it said, certainly, here's a detailed recipe for Christmas Brussels sprouts inspired by Thomas Keller's meticulous style. And everything I asked it for about Thomas Keller, because I asked for a veggie main as well, and it gave me this ridiculous Wellington, mushroom Wellington that would have taken about 5 hours. Everything was like meticulous techniques. That obviously, like, yeah, meticulous is the word that it associates with Thomas Keller.
Yeah.
So in this recipe, you blanch a pound of Brussels sprouts, trimmed and halved, for 3 to 4 minutes until slightly tender but still vibrant green. And then you transfer them to an ice bath to stop the cooking process and drain and set aside. I thought that was quite chefy, quite Thomasy. And then you toast some hazelnuts. You paste them on a baking sheet, toast them in the oven for about 8 to 10 minutes until fragrant. You rub them in a clean kitchen towel to remove the skins, then roughly chop. Every single time I roast nuts that I need to take the skins off, I do this all the time. I'm such an idiot. You know, I put them in like a clean tea towel, because then you'll just, rub them and then the skins come off. But I always forget that they're in there. And I'll pick it up like it's my normal tea towel and I whip them all over the floor.
Oh.
Which was...
Whipped hazelnuts.
Whipped hazelnuts. I was so angry. Anyway, I managed to pick them up. It was fine. I just cleaned the floor. It was okay. Then you chop them, set them aside. Then you brown some butter. All the instructions were very... correct and accurate. Melt butter over medium heat, continue cooking till it turns a rich golden brown colour and develops a nutty aroma. Be vigilant to avoid burning. And then it tells you to add olive oil into the brown butter for a balanced flavour.
Oh! Yeah.
So this was half a cup of butter, which I felt was too much later on.
Sounds like
it was a lot. And I didn't really cup it. I didn't really cup it. I just eyeballed it. But I think I was even still conservative.
It's hard to cup a bottle.
It's so hard to cup.
As they say.
It's very hard to cup butter. And then you basically, it tells you, I mean, I guess where the nuance is missed in the recipe writing of ChatGPT is like, it doesn't tell you then to just leave that brown butter in the pan and then add the rest of the stuff into it. So like the steps are very separate. It's like add olive oil to the brown butter for a balanced flavor, and then like number four is like saute the Brussels sprouts in a large skillet, heat the brown butter and olive oil mixture. And it's like, well, no, I don't need to heat it again, it's there, it's ready. Silly little creature. And then you add in sliced garlic, 2 cloves of garlic thinly sliced into the brown butter and saute till fragrant. So I was a little bit careful here because it was quite hot from the browning and nobody wants burned garlic. So I kind of completely almost like turned off the heat and just let the garlic do its thing in the residual brown butter heat. But then into the garlicky brown butter olive oily mixture, you add in the blanched Brussels sprouts, tossing them to coat them evenly in the brown butter mixture. You season with salt and pepper to taste, and you sprinkle in fresh thyme leaves over the Brussels sprouts. Ooh. You continue to sauté until they develop a golden caramelization, which I did, but I got a little bit impatient because it was taking ages, and there was quite a lot of butter, and it was obviously like kind of being absorbed into the little, you know, all the little grooves of the sprouts. And
Hannah just did a great action to, you know, symbolize grooves of the sprouts.
Grooves of the sprouts is our bad name of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it was kind of taking ages, but I kept like, stirring them quite high heat, letting the butter kind of all absorb. But it was, yeah, there was just a lot of butter, which made me think like it was probably not inaccurate, right? Like everything French, yeah, and everything kind of like Michelin almost is just like fucking tons of butter, yeah, and salt. So yeah, they were definitely like browned, but not maybe like as deeply caramelized as they could have been. And then you stir in your chopped hazelnuts, lemon zest and lemon juice for brightness. Taste and adjust the seasoning if necessary. And then it says transfer them to a serving platter and optionally garnish with pomegranate seeds for a burst of color and flavor.
Oh.
So I had missed that, and I didn't have any pomegranate seeds, but that definitely would have made the photo look better. But yeah, I just thought that was a fun little way to fine dine Brussels sprouts. And it tasted nice. They were a little bit overdone, I think, because, they probably, when they were boiled, even though I had stopped the cooking process, then like frying them again meant they cooked more. And so they were probably could have boiled them for less time. And so they retained more texture actually once you saute them in the brown butter. And the pomegranate seeds would have been nice. But in theory, like the flavor balance did really work. Like the hazelnuts had a nice crunch.
Nice.
The lemon juice for like, a little bit of acidity. Just too much butter. But yeah, I thought that was...
It's definitely learnt, hasn't it? Like how to add, like put the flavours together.
Yeah.
Like ChatGPT.
Yeah,
I mean,
not Thomas Keller. I think he kind of knows.
Thomas Keller, he doesn't know anything. He's useless.
And for any listeners...
He may as well be AI.
For any listeners who haven't listened to our French Laundry episode from the first season, please go back and do so.
Don't.
No!
No, do.
Just don't get the book. Just listen to the episode.
No, don't get that, but you have mine if you want it. You just have to pay for postage.
But yeah, I thought that was a fun little...
Yeah. I guess we have to like remember that none of these recipes have been tested. Like they're just AI recipes, right? So like probably is too much butter because...
Yeah.
Because it is, because no one's ever tested it apart from you.
Yeah. I just don't know how I would use it going forward. Do you know what I mean? Like, because... Say, for example, you have cranberries and you're just looking for a recipe to use. Can't you just Google cranberry recipes from Alison Roman? But I guess it's if she doesn't have any, right? Then it will kind of give you something similar.
Yeah, she might not have any. Yeah. And I guess it's like, I guess it narrows down the vastness of the internet.
Yes, that's beautiful. Would you like to come back?
Thank you. I'm selling that to ChatGPT.
It's a big, scary as their tagline. World out there.
And I guess it's like, you know, it's no more reputable than any of the. But I feel like sometimes you Google like cranberry recipes.
Yes.
I don't know, for something, and then it will just like throw these random blogs that you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. To know if it's a good recipe,
it's so hard,
you know. Whereas ChatGPT is obviously much more reliable,
yeah.
Being, you know, literally just artificial intelligence.
We would love to hear listeners' experiences with
we would
ChatGPT. And yeah, are you skeptical? Do you want to use it? Do you think it would like narrow things down for you? Are you going to use it after this episode? Tell us your thoughts.
I feel like it would be good for, like, weeknight dinner, you know? Like, oh, I've got chicken thighs. What? I've got chicken thighs and sweet potatoes. Like, what shall I make or something? I don't know.
Shall I write this down? I'll do a live test. I've got chicken thighs and sweet potatoes. What should I cook? Everyone's going to hear my very... excellent typing speed there. It says, how about a comforting dish of roasted chicken thighs with sweet potatoes?
Wow.
What?
This ChatGPT.
Yeah, there's literally nothing. Oh, there's some spices, garlic, cloves, thyme, paprika, salt and pepper. Shall I ask ChatGPT who are the cookbook circle?
Nice. I asked it actually about the cookbook circle, and I was.
Oh god, this is really hurtful.
I asked it. No, I said, "What's a book the cookbook circle podcast recommends?" I don't have real time data access, and my training only includes information up to January 2022. Therefore, I cannot provide the latest recommendations from the cookbook circle podcast. However, you can check the podcast website, social media pages, or other platforms.
Yeah, this is brutal. Mm-hmm. It says I'm not aware of any specific group or entity referred to as the cookbook circle. It's possible that new groups, communities, or initiatives related to cookbooks may have emerged since my last knowledge update in January 2022. Wow. What a humbling note to end on. Why hasn't it been updated since January 2022? I've been updated.
Also, we existed in January 2022, so did we?
Yeah, yes, we did. We existed. We existed in January 2021. Is Hannah and Victoria from the cookbook circle? I'm not accepting this.
Let's get an email to OpenAI and be like, look, I know you're going through some stuff, but...
Wow, absolutely not a Scooby-Doo.
Please add us into...
Who we are. Don't you know who we are? Anyway,
don't you know?
I'm going to skim over this. Thank you, dear listeners, for your dedication and loyalty throughout the year of 2023.
This closing speech has been written by ChatGPT.
Shit, yeah, let me write this.
How to thank a podcast audience.
How to thank a podcast audience for their listenership. This is so much fun. I basically don't have to use my brain at all.
That's the problem.
Okay. Oh no, it's just giving me tips. It's saying personalized shout outs. Okay. Thank you, my immediate family. thank you, our friends. Wow. No, this is no good.
Thank you to everyone who listens, though, seriously.
Yes.
You have made this year very fun. And we know at times we've been a little chaotic.
It's been the most chaotic year, actually.
It has really been a chaotic year. But... we are thrilled to still be doing this, and thank you for listening.
Yes, we had our Spotify Wrapped for the podcast recently, and it said that like we had our biggest jump of listeners, I think, this year, as in, like, this is the year that most new people have come to us, which is really lovely. So thank you new for people. Listening. And that salt, fat, acid, heat was the way that people had found us, and the, like, still the biggest episode, I think. So
salty as the summer sea, lads.
Salty as the summer sea.
Stay salty.
That's our advice for 2020.
That is my advice for 2024.
We love you.
We love you, and thank you if you are a Patreon subscriber. Yeah.
You guys are the best.
Same goes. We know we've been a bit chaotic over there, but we will be better this year. Yeah, promise.
We promise. We love you. Thank you for listening.
Promise. We love you. Have a great end of the year and a relaxing new year.
And tell us what cookbooks, and we will be back. You get for Christmas.
Tell us what cookbooks you get, and we'll tell you what cookbooks we get, and. We'll be back kind of mid-January. Yeah. We're going to have a bit of a
break.
Rest. Yeah.
And normality. Get on top of the chaos. We'll try. No promises. Okay, we'll love try. You. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.